Good morning and welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. How you doing? I hope you're doing all right today. It is a Monday after a Mother's Day weekend. And I hope you spent a little time over the weekend celebrating Mom. Around our place, we did. I mean, Jane's mom has passed away, but my mom, I made sure to spend a little time in contact with her. And bless her heart, she took a fall a couple of weeks ago, and she's fractured a vertebra, and she's, you know, she's sitting around on painkillers at the house. So, God love her. She is not having the best of times right now, but she is still alive and kicking, and it's good to be able to celebrate her. And my son made a little time to celebrate his mom. In fact, at one point, she shook her head like, God, he just keeps texting and calling. And so he was in a talkative mood yesterday. So he spent some time on the phone with Jane, and that was good. And hopefully, if your mom is still around, you had a chance to celebrate her and spend a little time with her on Mother's Day. And I hope you are doing well. I hope your Monday is looking good. I hope things are stacking up in your favor today, and I hope you you have big plans for the day and that you're successful in what you seek to do. What we seek to do here this morning is to touch on some of the stories of the day and offer a little insight and opinion about those stories and to what? What should I say we should do here? I would say that we should enjoy ourselves as much as possible, because frankly, if you don't, then what you gonna do? I mean, seriously, what you gonna do if you can't enjoy life? Like I've said before, learn to embrace the absurdity and laugh at it and understand it for what it is. Because if you can't do that, you're gonna walk around angry. And if you're walking around angry, then guess who wins? The people who are trying to upset you. That's right. I think I've told this story before. I know I've told it on the Mark and Mac Show, but I don't think I've told it here on the Daily Perspective podcast. And that is that at one time, a long time ago, I worked for someone. And I was in a management position working for somebody. And this person made it a practice to keep his employees on edge. They were always bothered by something, always upset by something. And this worked very well for the girls on the staff. I mean, there were some that he kept them upset all the time. Eventually they would leave, but he kept them upset, and it was a management style. It was a way to keep people under control, because if you've got people emotionally triggered, I'll use that word, if you've got people emotionally triggered, then they're not very rational. They tend to see everything through the lens of anger and or sadness or whatever. So if you can keep them emotionally manipulated, then you keep them off balance. If you keep them off balance, then you can keep the upper hand in the situation. And this was this person's management style. Yeah, you're right. It's nasty. That's horrible. Why do something like that? But that was his way. He even handled his wife that way. But there was a young lady who I went in one day. She's usually upset. And she's sitting in a chair at her desk. And she's just as calm. She's not on edge like she normally is each day. And I looked at her and I said, hey, what's up? She said, I think I'm going to get fired. I said, really? What happened? She said, I figured him out. I figured out that he's manipulating us, and he's keeping us on edge, and he's keeping us upset. And as long as he can keep us angry, he can control us. And I'm not going to let him do that anymore. And sure enough, before the end of the day, she was gone. Because he figured out that she could no longer be manipulated. Well, that's not only a nasty management style, it's a government style. We have people in our government today who keep it their top priority to keep their people as upset as possible about life in general. And in order to do that, they have to lie to them constantly. Because life in America is really not all that bad. When you compare it to life anywhere else in the world, it's pretty doggone good. So we have politicians who have made it their job, who've made it their process in management to keep America on edge and to keep America believing that that everything is a crisis. The latest phrase is constitutional crisis. That's how they manage people. They keep them stirred up, upset, angry, and wanting revenge of some kind. It's just the way they operate. And so it's important for intellectually honest people, mature, rational, reasonable people, to see this for what it is and not allow it to govern the way we think. You have to take a step back, remember that these people are manipulators, and refuse to be manipulated. And that takes a little bit of groundwork. It takes a little bit of your own due diligence. You have to do some looking into things, but eventually you learn the patterns, you learn the behavior, and when you hear them spouting their BS to get people angry, you know it for what it is, and you just shake it off and move on. There's no sense in getting angry about it. It's just how they do things. Now, being angry about their management style, that's valid. Being angry about that, what they say, not so much. For example, this is not a politician. This is someone who apparently has a great deal of time on her hands and feels it important to be involved in the process of life for every American. And this person would be Alyssa Milano. You remember Alyssa Milano? She's that actress who has enough free time to attend the Kavanaugh hearings. She's apparently not very busy. Earlier this year, she was behind a Hollywood protest of Georgia's heartbeat bill. You remember this? That resulted in dozens of Hollywood actors signing on to her pledge not to film in the state if the bill passed. The bill was signed into law last week. She tweeted, "Our reproductive rights are being erased. Until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy." While she was unable to stop the law by attacking Georgia's economy, she's now trying a new approach that hits below the belt, not the wallet. Milano is now calling for a sex strike. At the time this article on PJ Media was written, her tweet had received over 5,000 retweets, more than 13,400 likes. It's probably way beyond that now because this happened right as we were heading into the weekend. This sex strike is trending on Twitter as people are responding hilariously to Milano's latest attempts at pro-abortion activism. For example, Peter Dawson writes, "I love reading tweets like this as they demonstrate inherent prejudice within the Dems left and identity politics and their identity politics. They expect all women to think the same as they do. All blacks and all Hispanics, all members of the LGBT community, you're supposed to be a monolithic group thinker." Someone else writes, "You are the AOC of Hollyweird." Pro-lifers agree with this message. Thank you. Someone else writes, "Breaking, liberal women go on a sex strike, STD rates plummet." I remember we had that story about herpes exploding. Yep, there we go. Someone else writes, I had no idea that condoms and birth control pills are being outlawed. Please, let us know where this is happening, and abstinence apparently works as well. You have lost no rights. You're spouting propaganda and justification for the murder of innocent babies. You are evil. Someone else, a doctor, writes, does anyone else see the irony of calling for a sex strike to gain choice regarding unintentional pregnancies? Another writes, you not having sex just made the world a better place for us dudes. Now there's one less colossal raging psycho out there we'll have to possibly date in order to find the right woman. From men everywhere across this great nation, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Oh my gosh. Moving onward, the next one. I get the point you're trying to make, but this implies that sex is a commodity given to men. Women enjoy sex too. We're not toys that can be taken away from men when they're misbehaving. It objectifies women and doesn't teach men why freedom over our bodies is important. She's right about that. Another writes, she's admitting that abortion is an option. As an option, increases risky behavior. She's also admitting that abstinence works. This sex strike is going to reduce the number of abortions performed in this country. I'm not seeing a downside to this. Another writes, abstinence is always the best birth control. Thank you for coming around to the evangelical right. Love you, Alyssa, and praise God. Another writes, LMAO, this is a brilliant plan. No, really, keep at it, Alyssa. Thank you for helping us promote abstinence. The pro-life movement thanks you. Another writes, oh, great, Planned Parenthood will go out of business. Another one, this is the best news out yet. We pro-life folks feel abstinence is the best form of contraception. And finally, this is the moment where Alyssa's transformation to evangelical Christianity started. She also realized she had solved the free birth control question. Who's the boss now, Alyssa? It ain't you. Wow. What gets me about this is that if she believes that women everywhere can go on a sex strike, does that mean that women everywhere are prostitutes? They're going on strike. It's a job. They're going on strike. Huh? Oh my gosh. Like I said, you have to laugh. You have to laugh at the idiocy. Holy cow. Alyssa Milano is just one of many examples. Among them, you can include Jim Carrey, whose movies I won't go see anymore, or rent, or watch when they're on TV, because he's such a raving psycho. And there are others. You just can't listen to what these people say. You can't take them seriously. Because, honestly, they're not living on the same planet as you or I. These people are not seeing the world in a rational, reasonable, intellectually honest way. They're just not. They're seeing it in a weird, twisted, perverse, strange way. And they don't even recognize the fact that their reasoning doesn't hold up with itself. They insist on certain things which just can't possibly be real or true. And in order to stand with them, you have to abandon reason. It's really embarrassing for them. It's truly, deeply embarrassing for them. And they apparently will never learn. It's a very, very sad thing. They will never, ever learn. And hopefully we'll get to them being able to learn before we wrap things up today. Excuse me, on this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. Still to come, we'll talk about that guy, that lawmaker who harassed anti-Planned Parenthood ladies who were praying. It turns out he's in some deep doo-doo himself. And one of the new congresswomen, one of the new radicals in the Congress, has said something that's just absolutely loony and deeply troubling. We'll take a look at that. And one of the students who shot up the STEM school and killed that young man has some parenting issues. We'll take a look at that as we move forward as well. And hopefully more on this edition of The Daily Perspective. It's a Monday, folks. Let's shake off the weekend and get moving forward, you know? Gotta do it. Come on. Let's go. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here. Glad you're along for this Monday edition of the program. I've come to the conclusion that I just have too many things to click. It's just too complicated. I think I may have to retire. I'm just kidding. Hey, but a heads up. There will not be a Tuesday edition of the podcast. Because I have an appointment that interferes with the show, and it was made months ago, and it's one of these follow-up things, going back to see the surgeon about my knee surgery and possible surgery for the other knee. And it's just something I set up just a couple of weeks after the surgery, and at that time I didn't know how things were going to pan out, and I didn't know how long my rehab was going to be, and there were just so many things in the air I just wasn't sure of, so I set the time for earlier in the morning than I really should have, so I can't really reschedule, wasn't able to reschedule, so no podcast tomorrow, but I'll be back Wednesday, okay? Just a little heads up, a little housekeeping note, so you don't try to catch this tomorrow and realize, wait a minute, he's not there, okay? So, and no, I'm not going to come in and just record a podcast for the sake of the podcast subscription things, because the way I do this is live. I do it live and I record it as it goes out live, and I'm not going to sit in a studio and not have the Facebook Live crowd there. So that's just not the way it's going to be done. So no podcast tomorrow, no Facebook Live show tomorrow, but I'll be back on Wednesday. You got it? Okay. Now, we're familiar, most of us by now, with who Representative Pennsylvania State Representative Brian Sims is. And we know what he's done. He's been harassing people praying outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic. And he's threatened to dox some young teenage girls who were praying, trying to get their IDs so he could harass them, which is nasty. He actually verbally abused an elderly woman who was standing outside minding her own business, just praying for the girls going in and the babies. And he was giving her a horrible time. And what gets me about what he has said is he called them pseudo Christians or something like that. And it's just amazing. But it seemed that he was the kind of guy who was poised to break out nationally at one point. He was the first openly gay captain in NCAA football history. He has a long list of LGBT and liberal activism bona fides. He's a popular corporate speaker, an engaging personality. He seemed like the kind of guy ready to embed himself into the American consciousness. And so he was, although not quite in the way he would have imagined. Sims, a volunteer with Planned Parenthood, decided to go above and beyond for the organization. He filmed himself offering a reward to dox three teenagers who were protesting with a woman outside of a southeastern Pennsylvania clinic and harassing another protester when they wisely decided to get out of the way of the scary man. Now, the scandal has refocused attention on Sims' previous investigation by the Pennsylvania State Ethics Commission over speaking fees he received. Uh-oh. First, the reason why everyone knows who Sims is. We've already covered that. He's He said, we've got a bunch of protesters here, a bunch of pseudo-Christian protesters who've been out here shaming young girls for being here. So here's the deal. I've got $100 to anybody who will identify these three, and I will donate to Planned Parenthood. And when the young women went away, he then focused on a man praying on the sidewalk. He says, what makes you think it's your job to tell women what to do with their bodies? The truth is, I'm not really asking because I don't care. Shame on you. That was in April. A couple of weekends ago, his live streaming habits began receiving widespread attention after he decided to chastise a lone woman on camera for protesting outside of Planned Parenthood. Although he didn't offer any explicit doxing bonus, he did say that, quote, the same laws, luckily, that protect her from being out here also protect me from showing you who she is, which sounds a bit like nice anonymity you've got there. Shame if anything were to happen to it. So this was just an example of an unimpeachable Cincinnatus losing his marbles a few times on camera because those blasted Christians were interfering with the sacrament of abortion. Or was it? The lawmaker who confronted this woman praying outside Planned Parenthood on May 2nd was the subject of an investigation by Pennsylvania's State Ethics Commission. After questions were raised in 2017, regarding speaking fees he received while in office. This is according to the Catholic News Agency. They go on to say, the state's Ethics Commission opened an investigation into State Representative Brian Sims following a 2017 complaint that he had violated Pennsylvania's Ethics Act. Sims is accused of accepting honoraria, including fees and travel and accommodation, in violation of policies governing state legislators. It gets worse from there. Sims allegedly failed to report thousands of dollars worth of travel expenses, which he later reimbursed out of his official campaign funds, following a series of high-profile speaking engagements and trips overseas, made in connection with charitable fundraising. A 2016 investigation by City and State Pennsylvania found that despite a rule prohibiting legislatures from accepting honoraria, including speaking fees, Sims earned more than $40,000 from such activity following his election in 2012. Sims has repeatedly insisted that the events were given in connection with his national role as an LGBT activist and were not connected to his legislative work. For his part, Sims has claimed it was all a smear campaign. He said in an interview in 2017 with Philadelphia Weekly, this is the cost of politics in a city like Philadelphia. I can still be really angry about it. It feels very Machiavellian. This was done to hit me where I'm strongest. And I think I'm strongest in my ethics. Wow. Ethics? Really? Ethics? Ethics propelled you to victimize underage young women and an elderly woman on a sidewalk? Ethics did that, sir? Whew. Wowzer. Yikes. He goes on to say, I don't doubt that Philadelphia politics is a brutal game. I've seen both city's football fans and the now defunct Wing Bowl. So if you told me that someone was going to play dirty in local politics, I would generally have no qualms believing it. Let's take a look at that. I think I'm strongest in my ethics remark. It was made roughly 2 years ago, but it's doubtful Sims' personal code of conduct was ever all that solid. If in 23 months, he was totally cool telling his Facebook followers to dox teenage girls and then live streaming verbal abuse of a female abortion clinic protester on social media. Second, see if this sounds like ethics to you. According to the City and State report, Sims was billed as a state representative in advance of a 2015 engagement to speak about LGBT issues to employees at Microsoft corporate headquarters in Seattle, suggesting a conflict with Pennsylvania ethics law. Sims also failed to declare travel and accommodation he received from Microsoft in connection with the event. Though he initially suggested that the event had been arranged spontaneously while he was on a trip to California visiting friends, Sims made the trip in the company of a professional political consultant retained by Sims in 2013. City and State also found the event had been promoted by Sims months before it took place. At another paid speaking event, he was billed as Representative Brian Sims and was slated to talk about his career as a legislator and on current legislation before the House, which doesn't sound a whole lot like the discussion of LGBT issues. When it comes to the doxing controversy, like most good liberals who find themselves in a bit of viral bother, Sims posted a video in which he didn't really take responsibility for anything except for reacting to horrible, horrible Christians protesting outside a Planned Parenthood clinic, and he'll do better in the future, or something. Blah, 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 whatever. He said this: "I will fiercely protect a woman's right to make the best choices for her health and her body unimpeded. I also know that two wrongs don't make a right, especially on the front lines of a civil rights battle. I can do better and I will do better for the women of Pennsylvania." In other words, it's kind of the opposite of President Trump's most examined phrase, where they were very bad people on both sides. There were very bad people on both sides, and the other people kind of started it. Wow. Somebody on Twitter kind of summed it up this way: "Yesterday I punched some kids in the face, but today I realized that they deserved it, and, well, F those stupid kids, but my hand hurts, so I'd like to apologize to my hand for punching those dumb kids." That kind of sums it up. This guy's a typical leftist lowlife. He believes he is beyond ethics. He's just typical left-wing scum. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Monday edition of the show, and it's a Monday all over the place. It really is. Wow. The people who are representing the people of the United States of America in Washington, D.C., are, in some cases, some of the most truly vile people on the planet. And we see examples of this all the time. And I think it's important that you and I remember that these people do not see things the way you see things. They, when campaigning, say what their people tell them you need to hear. But that has no bearing on what they're really going to do when they get into office. For an example, well, just a general example, look what's happening in the House right now, the House of Representatives. Since the Democrat Party took control of the House, they have done nothing they've promised to do as a party in order to win their seats. They promised to work on many, many things. But they've been focused completely and totally on undermining and overturning the presidency of Donald Trump. That's what they've been focused on. That's what they talk about every time they make appearances in the public. Amid smatterings of promises that they don't intend to keep. But that's the focus. That's their platform. Destroy the president. And that's just a general observation. There are specifics which are even more troubling. You may have been seeing this post lately in social media. There's a tweet that's been popping up, and it's been on Facebook as well. I've seen it in several places. And usually it's just a quick thing that you see and you sort of shrug off, yeah, well, who would expect anything else, right? It is, and it's this: Congresswoman Tlaib, that's T-L-A-I-B, Tlaib, says she gets a calming feeling from the Holocaust. Now that in itself, that statement in itself, it's just a headline, is horrific. It's just horrible. But let's dig into it a little bit. At humanevents.com, there's a U.S. politics article written by Rahim Kassam. Let's dig in. Democratic Party Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Democrat from Minnesota, has said she feels a calming, a kind of calming, when she thinks about the Holocaust, according to her own words, from a new episode of the Yahoo News podcast, Skullduggery. She was interviewed by the Skullduggery podcast host for the first half of the program, wherein she discusses her opposition to President Trump and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Asked about her position on the latter, she explains her support for a one-state solution, a proposal also backed by terrorist faction Hamas. While Tlaib explains she does not believe in violence like Hamas does, she explains around the 28-minute mark that she gets a kind of calming feeling when thinking of the violent murder and extermination of 6 million Jews. Quote, "There's always kind of a calming feeling, I tell folks, when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust and the fact that it was my ancestors, Palestinians, who lost their land and lost their lives, their livelihood, their human dignity, their existence, in many ways have been wiped out, and some people's passports, and just all of it was in the name of trying to create a safe haven for Jews post the Holocaust, post the tragedy and the horrific persecution of Jews across the world at that time. And I love the fact that it was my ancestors that provided that, right, in many ways. But they did it in a way that took their human dignity away, and it was forced on them. Of course, the Palestinian Arabs had no intention of creating a safe haven for Jews in the Middle East, nor was the post-war era the first time Jewish people had been in or moved to the area." Philip Klein explains over at the Washington Examiner, "The Jewish presence in the area currently known as Israel dates back thousands of years, and the modern migration of Jews back there predated the Holocaust by many decades, starting with the migration of Jews from Yemen in 1881. With the Balfour Declaration of 1917, the British government supported the establishment of a Jewish state in the area, an idea rejected by Arabs. In 1937, the British Peel Commission proposed a two-state solution to Jews and Arabs, which the Arabs once again rejected because they could not accept any Jewish presence in the region. During World War II, the Palestinian leader at the time, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Muhammad Amin al-Husseini, met with Adolf Hitler and allied with the Nazis. Palestinians never, to this day, tried to create a safe haven for Jews, as Tlaib claims. It is not the first time this newly minted congresswoman from Michigan has put her foot in it regarding Israel and the Jewish people. In January, she suggested members of the U.S. Congress attempting to support Israel forgot what country they represent. Her comments were taken as an anti-Semitic dual loyalty smear. Despite consistently referring to herself as someone who acts out of love, as she did in the Skullduggery episode also, she's also famous for aggressive statements such as impeach the bleep, which she dropped in a victory speech after the U.S. midterm elections. This young woman is deeply deluded, and she is spreading her delusion to people who wish to believe it. She's telling people that the Palestinians lost their homeland because they fought to protect the Jews. That is historically and realistically a bald-faced lie. In fact, let's go back to this other thing, this during World War II. The Palestinian leader of the time, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Muhammad Amin al-Husseini, he met with Adolf Hitler, allied with the Nazis, and he advised Hitler. Do a little bit of research on that. Get the show notes for the day. Sign up for the newsletter and get the show notes. Follow the links in this article. And you'll see how deeply deceptive this young woman is being. Because when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, the Palestinians, this whole Palestinian homeland situation is a manufactured tragedy, is a manufactured crisis. They really never had a homeland. The Arab communities, the Arab states there didn't even want them to have a homeland. And to assign them some sort of nobility because they sacrificed and lost their homeland is a lie. It's just a lie. And this woman is watering, fertilizing, and encouraging this lie to grow. And she just keeps digging and digging and digging and attempting to substantiate herself and her claims. And sadly, she doesn't get questioned. She just doesn't get questioned. The leftist press doesn't care to question her because they've bought the whole politically correct lie that if they question her, then they're somehow in some way prejudiced against her, that they're that they're committing some sort of fatal sin. Well, truth is an extremely important thing. If you abandon truth, you might as well abandon all hope. And sadly, the leftist press, the progressive press, has abandoned truth and embraced an agenda. It would be nice if they would actually press people like her with the facts. It would be nice if they actually did. If they actually did dig in and find out about how the Arabs actually sided with Adolf Hitler. It would be nice if they actually did find out that in 1941, Haj Amin al-Husseini fled to Germany and met with Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, and other Nazi leaders. He wanted to persuade them to extend the Nazis' anti-Jewish program to the Arab world. The Mufti sent Hitler 15 drafts of declarations he wanted Germany and Italy to make concerning the Middle East. One called on the two countries to declare the illegality of the Jewish home in Palestine. Furthermore, they accord to Palestine and to other Arab countries the right to solve the problem of the Jewish elements in Palestine and other Arab countries in accordance with the interest of the Arabs and by the same method that the question is now being settled in the Axis countries. He told them that the Jews were his foremost enemy. And yet, this congresswoman is embracing the fantasy and spreading it that the Palestinians and the Arabs were actually supporting the Jews and lost as a result of it. It's just one more massive lie. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Glad you're along today. Wherever you may be, whenever you may be listening, thanks for being there. I appreciate it. I really do. I don't know about you, but I'm having a hard time getting this Monday kicked in the teeth and moving. Come on, Monday, let's move. It's just, oh my, I don't know. I had one of those nights where I don't know if this happens to you. You keep waking up and looking at the clock And it's not that there's a huge anything huge on the agenda for the day that's got me, you know, that got my brain consumed. It's just for some reason I kept waking up last night. So maybe that's the thing, is I really didn't sleep well, and I've got the fog. You know what I'm talking about, that fog. You're kind of trying to shake it off. It doesn't matter how much coffee you have. It's still there. Ah, well. Anyway, that's the day so far for me. And I'm looking at the agenda for today. I'm really not looking forward to certain things. But that is not what was... I just kept waking up. Weird dreams. Maybe I shouldn't watch mommy movies before I go to bed. Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's probably it. We stumbled across the Brendan Fraser The Mummy yesterday, flipping channels yesterday afternoon, and then they followed it with the second film, and that ran up until, you know, late in the evening, and I kept sitting there as we were watching through that second one. I'm thinking, you know what's going to be on my brain all night long? This is what's going to keep, I'm going to keep waking up replaying scenes from this movie in my brain throughout the night. It sort of happened. It really did. Yeah. So hopefully your Monday is going to be good, and that you slept better last night. We're all aware of what happened at the STEM school in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. That a young man needlessly has been killed. And we're all aware that things would have been handled a whole lot more quickly had they had a security officer actually on the site. They actually, if you do your research, you'll find out that they not long ago ended a contract and never came back around to putting anybody else in place. It just there was somebody there who managed to handle the situation fairly quickly, but there's been an issue with that school. And there are parents who have expressed issues with the school. And I've seen a few articles popping up here lately. One of them I looked at, considering for inclusion in the program today, and it just didn't ring true enough. You know what I mean? It just didn't ring true enough to bother with. But there have been those who have been concerned with the pressure these kids are under at this school. It's a STEM school. It is an upper level of education. Yeah. Well, now we're finding out more about the primary killer's family. The two teenagers accused of opening fire on the students at the STEM school in Highlands Ranch in Colorado, killing one, wounding eight others, are an 18-year-old apparent Democrat who hates Christians and a 16-year-old transgender student. A school shooting is a horrible, tragic, evil outrage. But as sad as it is to acknowledge it happens often enough, to use the word usually, we have to observe that usually a school shooting is nearly wall-to-wall news, particularly political, for days. However, in the Colorado shooting, during which a heroic teen boy sacrificed his life for others, the result is muted coverage. Some details aren't being discussed at all. The 18-year-old killer's politics, for example, are getting little mention. They haven't even deterred blaming Trump and Republicans, despite this kid's hatred for both. In court, the 16-year-old white transgender suspect asked that the court use the pronoun he, although the teen was born female and is listed as such in court records. These are, by the standards set by our media, relevant pieces of newsworthy information, and by anyone's estimation ought to be considered as part of the picture when asking what went wrong and why. Another aspect that seems to be unworthy of cable news is the father of that student. The Daily Mail reports that Jose Evis Quintana, 33 years of age, has a long record. He spent 15 months in jail for domestic violence and menacing with a weapon. He has a long list of arrests from 2008 to 2017. Also, he was in the United States illegally through all that and has been deported before, twice. After being deported and returning illegally to the United States, Quintana was arrested as a violent fugitive, and while fighting extradition to New Mexico, ICE deported him a second time. These are, again, seemingly relevant facts. There are many, many more such inconvenient facts to the profiles of the shooters. The students at the school, the victims and their families who suffered this horror, are not interested in the political maneuvering. Some walked out of a candlelight vigil after gun activists from Moms Demand Action and protesters attempted to make it a gun control rally. The actual students called it disrespectful and inappropriate in some cases. Others reacted more strongly, shouting F the media as they left in anger. A commendable reaction to the ghoulish appropriation of their mourning by crass opportunists and politicians. But usually, the media want to know everything they can about a shooter. Does he wear a MAGA hat? What does their Facebook say? Are they pro-life? Do they watch Fox News? Not this time, though. Even before the families told the activists to back off, the emerging picture, that of an angry 18-year-old bully with a history of bashing Christians and Republicans and Trump, and the 16-year-old transgender teenage child of a violent, abusive parent who was in this country illegally, wasn't the top story. You can respect the mourning, and you can believe in the importance of mental health over what policies govern objects that people purchase and possess, and yet still fairly ask why. Why so quiet? The progressive press has been very quiet about this. You're finding out the details, the pertinent information, from conservative press, from conservative websites, from conservative talk radio and podcasts like this one. That's where you're finding this information out. Apparently, this shooter doesn't fit the profile, the preferred profile. And because they can't condemn conservatives or Trump, they don't have much to talk about. And because this particular shooting brings something into stark focus that they don't want to talk about, you won't hear about it. And that is that school shootings are mental health issues. When you look at the profiles of those who've done school shootings, you see they have mental health issues. These two at the STEM school both have mental health issues. We don't have any reports about treatment. We don't have any psychological breakdowns or anything like that. We don't know that because the press isn't doing their job. What we do know is that one of the shooters had F Society, the number 666, and what looked like a pentagram spray painted on his car. The other one is denying their natural gender and in court demanded to be addressed by her imaginary preferred gender. Those two are enough to know that they have mental issues. They have mental issues. It is a mental health issue. We also know, this also breaks through the any town for gun safety arguments, these two stole the weapons. They broke into a parent's gun cabinet. Broke in and illegally took the weapons. So they didn't buy them from a gun dealer, which would have thrilled the mainstream press because it would have enabled them to condemn gun sales and federal gun dealers. Because that's one of the things they want you to believe, that people, criminals, using guns are buying them from gun dealers or from gun shows, which is not the case. less than 1% of guns used in gun crime have come from gun shows. And federally licensed gun dealers, this is how they make their living. They're not going to endanger their life, their living, their income by breaking federal law. There's not enough profit. So they're not looking into this the way they would had these two fit their preferred profile. So you're not hearing about it. Which is just one more example of why I tell you, you can't trust the progressive mainstream press. And you probably shouldn't be watching them or listening to them. Because they don't care about being honest. That's it for today. We'll see you Wednesday here on The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.